All right, we're going to move ahead now. We're going to turn the conference over to Mr. Ben Sadie. Ben, you also have 25 minutes to present, so please go ahead.
Great. Thank you so much for the introduction, and Jerry, thanks for the great overview of the state of data security and the recent FFIEC guidance. You know, you hear all too often about the online environment being increasingly hostile, and it doesn't matter really if you're talking about online banking, social media, email, web applications, you name it. There's people and there's organizations that are trying to compromise your accounts for their benefit. And so FFIEC released their updated guidance to reinforce the risk management framework and their expectations. And one of those expectations is to perform a risk assessment, as Jerry had mentioned. And that risk assessment is going to be related to your online banking capabilities, channels, and services. And so I'm going to give an overview of the risk assessment process, what should be included in the risk assessment, when should the risk assessment be performed, who should perform, and who should approve the risk assessment, and then run through an example scenario as well. We'll get started on the next slide. So the first step to completing the risk assessment is to identify what should be included. And what types of electronic banking services and channels are in scope of the FFIEC guidance. And I've listed out a number of them right here. Online banking, mobile banking, wires, ACH, bill payment, online loan origination. Jerry had mentioned ATM as well. Again, it's really anything where your customers can gain access to their information and funds. And of course, we've covered the risks, and we'll do so in further detail later as well. But you know, some of the risks include account takeover, fraudulent transactions, wires, etc. Next slide. And so, once you've identified the services and the channels that are applicable to you and your institution, you'll need to take into account, you know, the different factors that need to be included in the risk assessment. And also to reiterate something that's been mentioned before, you know, you really need to own this process. It's not something you can rely on vendors to do for you. Ultimately, when I get to, you know, who's performing it and who's approving it, you know, it really is the financial institution's ultimate responsibility, so you need to own it. To complete the risk assessment, you're going to need to take into account the inherent risk factors per the service or channel. And that includes things like the volume of transactions, total number of customers with high transaction frequency, number of customers with high transaction dollar amount. It'll include the type of customers using the services and the channels, retail banking, and so forth, commercial banking. And then you also need to identify some of the residual risks. And how you're addressing those with the layered security that addresses those. You'll need to think about the risks that are facing you, whether it's the threats that are facing you, whether it's malware, phishing, and what are the mitigating controls for those threats. You'll need to think about what the authentication settings you have are for your customers for each one of the services and channels. And we'll get into layer security a little bit more in my presentation, but primarily Eric's going to go through that as well. Something to note kind of ahead of time is that the layer security options that we're going to discuss, they're not all going to be applicable to your general user population. That's the point of doing the risk assessment, is to identify where your riskier areas are, and you can maybe apply additional levels of layered security to those riskier areas. So we're not going to suggest that you apply the full spectrum of your layered security to your general online banking user. Next slide, please. And this slide is just to give a little bit more detail of the threats and controls that are out there, and this is not considered, should not be considered an all-inclusive. you know, when we think about malware, you know, some of the controls out there are going to be that you have the proper antivirus software and definitions in place. You know, maybe you're performing annual penetration testing. Hopefully you have a process and some software solutions to help you with your software and patch and version management. And then customer awareness, keeping your customers aware of their responsibilities and how they should be protecting themselves from malware as well. Man-in-the-middle attacks or session hijacking, some of the controls there would be to utilize the one-time passwords to prevent the reuse of SNF credentials, and also, again, customer awareness. And phishing, the financial institution performing internet searches for possible phishing websites out there, they're a threat to them. And incident, having an incident response program that can address the threat when it comes to you. Next slide, please. The next component for you to understand when completing the risk assessment is when you should perform the risk assessment. And the guidance says that it should be performed every 12 months, at least every 12 months. And then additionally, if there's any new information that becomes available. Some examples are changes in the internal and external threat environment, changes in your customer base, adopting electronic banking, incidents of security breaches, identity theft or fraud, and then also prior to implementing new electronic financial services. And those are the same services we've already discussed, the same services and channels. So if you were to implement a new service, then that would also be a trigger for performing a risk assessment again. Changes in your customer functionality that's offered, and changing third-party service providers. So again, we went through that one of those examples of, you know, if you added a new electronic financial service, but if you had a large security breach or a string of security breaches, identity thefts or fraud that occurred at your institution, that'd be another trigger. Or if you have, you know, you're also going to perform these risk assessments probably prior to implementing any new software or service rather than after the fact. Next slide, please. Okay, and so who should perform and who should approve the risk assessment? And this is, you know, this is pretty common here, and most people probably know this, but really to kind of give a framework that I know the examiners like to see. You know, you want to make sure that the person or group that's performing the risk assessment, you know, has some involvement from IT management. You're going to need to have personnel involved that have the sufficient technical expertise to evaluate security threats and the controls in the network and on the internet. And you're also going to want to make sure that if the services and channels, you know, ownership of those are decentralized, if you're a larger bank, then you need to pull in the right folks. You can't just have one person doing it. And this really ties back into what's already been mentioned again, that you need to own it. If you have a vendor that's performing it for you, you know, you need to have somebody on your team working with them to make sure that it's being done properly, that that they take everything into account. And then at the end of the day, it's signed off on by the financial institution. And the approval process, you know, the board of directors and senior management are responsible for developing a financial institution's e-banking business strategy and confirming risk assessment activities and controls. So you're probably going to want to have your senior management involved and signed off on it, and it's probably going to want to take it up to the board for their review as well. Next slide, please. Now I'm going to go through an example risk assessment scenario. And the goal here is to demonstrate the type of information that would be included in the risk assessment. We'll walk through one example that I put together for ACH transactions. But again, you know, this is going to be just one example. You have to apply the same sort of scenario to all of the services and channels that are applicable to you. So In this one, the frequency I was planning on doing just the general annual risk assessment, and again for ACH transactions. The inherent risk we identified was high, and that's due to the customer type being commercial, the total number of customers being 150 for this financial institution, the number of customers with high transaction frequency being 50, which is a decent percentage of the total customer base, and the number of customers with high transaction dollar amount being 50 as well. Next slide, please. And some of the layered security here to identify what your ultimate residual risk is, you'll often see authentication, you know, your general authentication controls, passwords, and so forth, enhanced administrator controls. So that's going to be the bank having additional controls, either longer passwords or, you know, maybe an RSA token of some sort for the administrators of the system. Transaction monitoring, out-of-band verification, debit blocks. This is the type of layered security that you may see in ACH environment. And at the end of the day, the residual risk, we took it from a high risk down to a medium risk because of some of these layered security controls. Next slide, please. And then, you know, in addition to that, you're going to want to identify the threats and the authentication settings for this environment and for this channel, so that you really give the complete picture of the risk assessment. And, you know, we already talked through some of the malware threats and phishing threats, you know, authentication settings. You know, you have minimum 8-character passwords expiring every 90 days, requiring complexity of passwords, session timeouts, and a max of 5 failed login attempts before it locks the user out. Next slide, please. And so that's the concept there of doing that risk assessment. You can put that in a table or a spreadsheet or a Word document, whatever you'd like. But you're going to want to do that again for each one of the services and channels that are applicable to your institution. And so finally, just one last note to wrap up. You know, the risk assessment process is a very important piece of the guidance, and FFIEC is taking it very seriously. But I think it's a manageable process, and if you can use some of the examples that we provided here, or if you want to reach out to me for any templates or tools to use, you know, I think that you'll find the process is not as daunting as it first looks. And so I think that will help you out.